Thanks, Hamilton, and thanks, Jared. That was great. Sorry, I've just been attacked by hay fever, so I kind of snort into the mic. You'll understand what's going on. It will be unpleasant, but you'll understand what's going on. I don't know how many people here remember good old SA Great in the good old days. Yes, some of us were in that game, weren't we, Coralie? So I was chair of that organisation a bit over a decade ago, and I remember going to an old collegians lunch in Adelaide, classic private school old collegians kind of lunch. And I did this impassioned speech about inbound migration and population. And I assumed I'd kind of finish with a rousing ovation, as I do in most of my speeches, of course. And just a note to everybody in the room. It was resounding silence. And then one little old lady bravely put up her hand and said, "But what are they going to drink?" And I said, "Well, ma'am, I think they're going to probably drink Coopers, but I think what you're talking about is the water." Because remember, it wasn't that long ago, we were thinking, when I first came here from WA, we were talking about drinking bottled water. Does anybody remember that era? Pre-desal plant. And I said, "Well, frankly, if we don't fix the water issue for migration, and you know, we're not going to fix it for ourselves, and nobody's going to invest in a state where you can't actually have water security. It's pretty fundamental." They then went on to complain about parking, traffic, and just about everything else. This was the era where we wanted to keep Adelaide as the best secret. And even our former Premier said that flat population growth was protecting our way of life. Do you remember Jay saying that? But the same people who complained bitterly about the fact that they didn't want to lose a car park or queue for anything were the ones who complained bitterly about the fact that they only see their grandchildren at Christmas, because that kind of an attitude, a genteel decline, drove generations of young people out of our state. And so, you know, let's not upset ourselves by not getting a car park, but let's not worry about the kids leaving and not coming back. So scroll forward. About a year ago, I got the heads of industry associations into our boardroom, and without any prompting from me, which is unusual, I just went round the table and said, "Look, what's keeping you awake at night?" And these people were from hospitality, restaurants and catering, property development, construction and building services, real estate, motor trades, retail, you name it. And when they shared their concerns, it all came down to this one thing: flat population growth equals flat demand across every industry sector. Oh, we don't get population growth, there is flat demand, it's going to affect every single sector of our economy. The lack of demand, of course, is the beginning of a vicious cycle. Flat population growth equals flat demand. Flat demand equals less jobs, less apprentices and trainees, less startups, less capital investment. Less investment over a protracted period undermines our competitiveness. It inhibits economically important infrastructure. It erodes business and consumer confidence. And it pretty much generally undermines the critical mass we need for everything, from utilities to public services, you name it. Flat population equals all kinds of problems in this vicious cycle. One of the other problems that's happened with us is our corporate sector in Adelaide's been hollowed out over 20 years. We've got, how many people know how many ASX top 200 listed companies are based in Adelaide? There's a small prize, Hamilton will create it for you, it'll be a bottle of wine, Hamilton. Anybody got an idea? I think it's probably I think it's three or four, but I was hoping you'd tell me. No, it's tiny, most of them are managed outside of Adelaide. So even though we call them South Australian, they're not. The other scary stat is that only 197 employers outside of any government area employ more than 200 people. Think about that. Only 197 employers in this state outside of government employ 200 or more people. We have hollowed out our corporate sector, and that's been part of this undermining with flat demand. Now, I'm not overly sympathetic to power utilities. Anthony can say that. We're dealing with these guys. You count your fingers afterwards when you shake their hands. But the one thing that they have correctly said is one of the problems about power infrastructure is how difficult it is to provide infrastructure to such a population that's so lacking in density. We have one of the lowest population densities for infrastructure in the world. And when you think about that, there is an argument about power, but there's also an argument about every public and private piece of infrastructure in a very kind of a diffuse population is incredibly expensive. And that means the cost per item is very, very high. The other thing that happens in this vicious cycle is that the skills we already got in the state, we drive out. Because bottom line is we're driving people to see other opportunities where the population's growing, where the economies are booming. We run a thing called Regional Voice, we're very proud of it, where we've gone out through our 11 affiliated chambers of commerce and said, what are the things that are really challenging? Number one's energy. Number two is access to skills. Regional South Australia cannot get skills, and it's becoming quite a crisis. So where do we sit? I mean, Jared's given us a broader thing. Well, at 2017, we've got 7% of Australia's population. We peaked at 9.5% back in 1901. We peaked again at that point in 1971, but we are currently the lowest percentage in our history. And lest we feel good about spinning on Tasmania, as we normally do, we're even lower than their rate, 0.6%. Net migration in 16 and 17 into the state was about 10,000. Net interstate migration was sort of negative 7,000 out. And I want you, if you're in this bracket, I want you to look at your partner tonight, look them in the eye, look them meaningfully, because there's always room to create another little South Australian, ladies and gentlemen. It's not too late. One for mum, one for dad, one for not Australia, but South Australia. So our 6,000 or thereabouts in natural increase doesn't even match up with our net. And believe me, it's not everybody's leaving, but the net position is about 7,000 out. So we need the 10,000 in internationally. The problem is, and we ran an ad campaign on this before the last election, too much of the cohort that are leaving are that 18 to 35 bracket. And that's not incredibly important for skills. We send some of the most attractive, well-educated people on the planet somewhere else to build their economies, but also the vibrancy in our city. You lose 18 to 35-year-olds, you're losing a whole generation of vibrancy to make our city come alive. So we also, we have an ageing demographic, as Jared's just mentioned. People have referred to us, I think, unkindly as God's waiting room. I think that's unreasonable. We don't want to be God's waiting room, but our aged care and healthcare burdens are going to go higher as we become that ageing demographic. So we often talk about multi-speed economies. Well, we have a multi-speed population economy, and nowhere is this more apparent, and I'll only take a few minutes to talk about Victoria. More than 12,000 people a month are moving there. Apparently, that's about the size of Ballarat every year, moving to Victoria, mainly to Melbourne. I talked to my colleague, Mark Stone, who runs the Chamber of Commerce there. He said now the supply chain cost of moving a person or a parcel across Melbourne is now one of the biggest economic issues they've got. Anybody ever tried to get in a taxi to the airport in Melbourne lately? You know, it's a nightmare. So congestion, pollution, supply chain, urban planning failures, serious socioeconomic issues, they're all there. And I read that the Victorian government, 50% of their state taxation comes from property. Now, that, if you want to call that a bubble, that's a massive bubble. But on the surface, it looks great. CommSec's latest State of the State report ranks Victoria highest for economic growth, leading the nation in construction and employment. So on the face of it, looks amazing. Simplistically, population equals economic boom, equals hallelujah, it's all good. But there's an underbelly, a serious underbelly that's going on that's going to really affect all kinds of level in terms of policy, funding, planning, and social frameworks. The broader problem is that we found in dealing with federal politicians, they set Australian population policy for Melbourne and Sydney and the southeast of Queensland. We've written to Dutton when he was minister and saying, can you please stop setting population policy for the mega cities and think about the rest of Australia? So it's not raw numbers, of course, and that's what Jared's pointed out. It's the fact that we have this massively uneven distribution of people. And that dysfunctional distribution is going to get worse and worse and more difficult. And the cost for us is economic and skills and opportunities and ageing demographics and lack of infrastructure and cost of infrastructure. The cost for Melbourne and Sydney, I think, will be even worse as the days go on. Now, I know that there's no magic bullet. I agree with Jared, it's a very complex, multifaceted issue. But what we do know is that a growth rate of 0.6% is unsustainable. In anybody's language, 0.6% is dangerous. And every year it goes by and we let it to happen, it's an absolute threat. I also agree with Jared that it's got to be an all of governments, a whole of Australia approach. And we need to fix it as an all of country approach, recognising that, you know, communities and economies outside of the mega cities are really important. Now, at the moment, I'm really pleased. We've got, you know, business confidence is high, consumer confidence is high. I was saying to Karen before, our visitor economy is on fire, international education's going well, everything's going well, but there's this lurking underbelly of population growth which could unpick and basically ruin what we're trying to achieve. Just to wrap up, a French industry leader said to me when I met with her around the defence contracts, they can put up with energy prices, they can deal with everything else that South Australia's got. She said, I'm incredibly worried about your skill base and the fact that you will not ever have the skill base we need to deliver major projects. At the other end of the skill scale, I'll leave you with a thought that I got from one of my leaders of the industry association. She said to me, Nigel, our industry is so desperate for workers that if you can stand upright and you've got a pulse, we'll take you. And Harvey, that wasn't a personal invitation to me. I felt that that was, you know, I have a pulse and I'm standing upright. But, you know, we've got lots of jobs in South Australia, but South Australians don't want to do them. Or they're too addicted to ICE to do them if they're in the country regions. It's not that we don't have job opportunities to meet population needs. It's that we have a lot of South Australians who really don't want to step up. So in conclusion, clearly, in my view, population long-term, even medium-term, is our most serious and urgent issue for this state. We've got all of the ingredients of having just one of the most amazing places to live, an amazing economy, and everything's going well. You know, we've been discovered internationally. But if we don't fix population, I think we're in for, you know, a very, very sad missing of opportunities that could be extraordinary if we get it right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Nigel. Please enjoy your lunch. It's being served now, and we'll reconvene sort of in about 20, 25 minutes. Thanks.